The time is 9:07, currently overcast skies in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Temperature stands at 53 degrees. It is the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, along with my in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, let's jump into it, because this morning it is our second anniversary. It is the second anniversary of our first show back on September the 6th of 2022. It's been 2 years of a lot of terrific guests. In fact, we jumped right into the middle of a campaign cycle back 2 years ago when this show got underway. During that campaign, we were fortunate to talk to folks such as Governor Tony Evers, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, future Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, and others. And then over the last couple of years, we've had opportunities to speak to other great guests like Senator Tammy Baldwin and so many great local political and governmental figures as well. And to start off our third year, we're very, very happy that got a chance to speak yesterday as he was campaigning in the state of Pennsylvania, the Democratic vice presidential nominee, the current governor of the state of Minnesota, Tim Walz. And here, with no further ado, is my conversation with the governor. We are very happy to welcome to the program the Democratic nominee for Vice President of the United States and the current governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz. Governor, first of all, thanks for spending a few minutes with us to talk to the people of North Central Wisconsin.
Oh, glad to be with you. We're barnstorming the country, and I'm in Pennsylvania, but it's exciting.
Governor, here in
keep moving back to home, towards home. So,
absolutely, Governor. Again, here in North Central Wisconsin, we have a lot of rural areas, and you were born in rural area yourself in Nebraska, and also taught for years in Minnesota before running for office. How did where you came from affect the priorities you've worked on, both in Congress, in the governorship, and perhaps even in the vice presidency, should you be elected in November?
Yeah, well, obviously my heart is there. And I said, I know these communities. I'm proud of them. Look, I've watched a political shift in them, but I haven't seen a shift in the people. Their values are still the same. They care about their neighbors. They want to make sure that there's opportunities in their communities. They want their schools to be good. I think for me, I went to Congress to get things done. I served 12 years on the Ag Committee, wrote three farm bills, and those are incredibly bipartisan, and spent another 12 years on the Veterans Affairs Committee, working to make sure that if you're going to serve this country, we were there modernizing the GI Bill, making sure we took care of you on those, you know, wounds of war, whether they were physical or mental. And I think that's a lot of what rural America cares about. And then there's the idea of, you know, invest in the communities, do things, but kind of leave us alone. I'm kind of taking that message to folks that we don't need government in your healthcare decisions. We don't need them in your exam rooms, your bedrooms. We'd like them to fix the roads as they should, make sure there's housing available, and, you know, we'll do the job, pay our mortgage. But all of those things give folks an opportunity. And I just reject this notion that there's two Americas, whether it's red or blue, or there's two Americas, urban and rural. This country has been strong because of both. We're very proud in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan and Pennsylvania. We feed, fuel, and clothe the world. that come out of there. And these are the folks you're talking about. I just think we've got a message to take to them that our policies work better.
Along that same line, I think one of the more interesting aspects of your career is you started by winning in a tough district for Democrats. You served six terms in Congress in a district that would not be called blue. You defeated a six-term GOP incumbent to win office, and even in your last congressional election, won despite the district voting overwhelmingly for Donald Trump in 2016. You talk about not buying the notion of two Americas. What has been your secret, or how have you been able to get the trust of more conservative voters that may vote Republican in some other races on the ballot, but then say, I'm still willing to vote for Tim Walz?
Yeah, and I think, and I watch the GOP try and kind of twist where my record is at, is look, I said I've learned how to compromise without compromising my values. I don't believe I have cornered the market on all the good ideas, and I don't believe you get your way only. I think you listen to where folks are at. They're telling me, look, we need healthcare costs to be more affordable. Look, property taxes are too high. What are you going to do about that? Look, I feel like I'm fine paying my fair share. But why do folks make $1 billion not pay any tax in many cases? And I think you talk to them really where they're at, and you hear them on the things they're conservative about. They're certainly conservative. They don't mind paying their taxes, but they don't want them wasted. So when something happens like that, you talk to them about it. You understand why. You understand how we can be more efficient. And I think you trust people to believe that, look, it's okay to vote against somebody. You don't have to hate them. You don't have to believe they don't care about this country or that they care about their community. They certainly do. And I think those are ways that you get the folks. And at the end of the day, I hope people, they vote on policy, but character matters. Character does matter. And I think when you have a ticket that has made it clear that, they want to do whatever they want to do and that they're above the law, I'm not sure that's where a lot of conservative folks are at.
In addition to this show, I have the privilege of broadcasting high school football for the last 25 years and have had the chance to see teams full of players from different backgrounds and from homes with different political beliefs come together, win championships like you experienced as a coach. I get the sense that after the last decade of a lot of nastiness in politics, there's a want for moving forward together, maybe ready to come out of their bubbles just a little bit. As you travel around the country, do you have that sense? Do you hear that from people?
No, I believe it, Chad. I was just mentioning we were down in Savannah, and there hadn't really been a campaign down there. Vice President and I were down there, and there were folks on one side of the street that had our banners, and then there were folks on the other side of the street that didn't. But I noticed in it, and I made the case of, is both groups were smiling and happy and talking to each other. They weren't giving one-finger salutes. They weren't yelling nasty things. They just disagreed. And I think something is happening. I think there's a lot of excitement around Vice President Harris and our campaign. I think there's a lot of folks looking for a way forward. But I think there's an awful lot of folks that would really like the nastiness to kind of end and to get back to this. Look, bring us your ideas, work hard. At the end of the day on election night, shake hands, congratulate the winner, and let's move on. Let's not pretend that our elections weren't fair. Let's not pretend that you've been aggrieved on this. That, look, I've won football games and I've lost them. And I walked across that field, shook hands, and we went to the next day. So I think you're right. I'm feeling it. I don't think people want to live in chaos. I don't think they want to live with this just constant, everything is fearful, everything, you have to wake up and be afraid. And I reject this notion that America is going to be fixed by one person. America is fixed when we join together, when we have a better plan together, when we all see community together. That's what Vice President Harris is bringing. And look, she brought the joy back to this. And she's being very clear about that our politics can be, these are hard things we have to get after, but they can be good things and it can be good work.
And one final quick question. Every Friday, I go over to Culver's, and they want to know, being a Minnesota guy and so many Culver's around here, what is your Culver's order when you come either to Wisconsin or over in Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm a mushroom and Swiss guy, onion rings most of the time, and then I just do just a plain custard cup to leave with. When I eat in-house, I do drink a lot of refills. I will say that. They probably lose money on that deal. But, that mushroom and Swiss burger at Culver's, man, that thing's to die for. So I'll give you that. Wisconsin's got that going hard for it.
Governor, again, I know how busy you are, and I'm just thrilled that you've been able to spend some time talk to the folks here in North Central Wisconsin. Hopefully you'll be coming to this part of the state during the campaign, and if you do, I'd love to have you come by here in Wausau as well. But again, really appreciate your time. Best of luck on the trail, and hopefully we can talk again.
All right. Thanks for having me, Chad.
That is the Democratic vice presidential nominee, Governor of the state of Minnesota, Tim Walz. Again, I had an opportunity yesterday to speak to him on the phone as he was campaigning in Pennsylvania. And a couple of takeaways from those, too few minutes. I would have loved to have had the opportunity to really have a long sit down, but doggone it, I mean,
it was a good conversation.
He's the nominee for the vice presidency, so he doesn't have a chance to sit down for 45 minutes with little old me here in central Wisconsin. But I thought, and one thing I want to point out is that I think there's sometimes thought, oh, you know, they get all the questions. No, they did not get the questions. And one of the things that really I thought was impressive was, boy, he's a sharp guy.
I mean, oh, yes.
He was able to, you know, take the questions and answer them, I thought, very fully, very emphatically, and just really, I think, come across as somebody that really is sharp as a tack, and somebody that knows the issues, knows the lay of the land, and would be an outstanding partner for Vice President Harris governing once the campaign is over. And also, again, he just comes across as such a personable person, and to be able to take the last question and answer it so naturally, he's done that throughout the course of his political career. But again, I was just thrilled to be able to have an opportunity, and hope that the folks that are tuned in right now enjoyed hearing from him as well, because I did think that living in this part of the world, this part of the state, with a lot of rural listeners and rural people that go day to day, and you get outside Wausau, you see so much of the farmland and ginseng and everything else, and this is a man that grew up in a very small town in Nebraska, taught in Minnesota. He's a man that I think really has lived the experience that we have here in North Central Wisconsin, and again, I thought he was a very personable and came across as a nice guy. And I do think that's important these days, because I think there is a sense of fatigue when it comes to the nastiness and the nasty nicknames and the name calling that we've seen from Trump over the last decade or so.
Yeah, but I did like the point he made about that there are people that had Harris and Walz signs on one side and people who didn't on the other, and yet they were still able to get along and disagree politely. Didn't have name calling or the finger thing, just having a conversation where it's okay to disagree with people and still be civilized about it.
And also, real quickly, the thing that I liked as well is he mentioned about the battle of ideas. I've said that before myself.
Right.
The battle of the ideas. I mean, that's what it's all about, and we can do that. We can have that discussion and not have it delve into personal attacks. So, again, thanks to Governor Tim Walz, Democratic nominee for vice president, for joining us on the program.
Absolutely.
Coming up, we will talk Wisconsin sports. Newman Catholic football coach Tim Walz, a former football coach. We'll get football coach Paul Mickley coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Before we start talking to Paul Mickley, again, I want to remind folks we've had a change for our broadcast schedule tonight when it comes to high school football, because our good friend Tom Weaver, who joins me on the broadcast, has a family health issue, a significant one, and we send out our best to Tom and his family. He's unable to do the game that he was scheduled tonight, so we made an adjustment. I will be heading over to Greenwood and have the Marathon Red Raiders taking on Loyal Greenwood. You can hear that game live right here on 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Unfortunately, because of a shortage of announcers. We are unable to head to Eau Claire tonight for the Warriors and the Eau Claire North Huskies. Eau Claire North has a video stream. I think that hopefully you can partake in that. And again, I feel terrible about it. It's one of those situations where I made some calls. I had a couple of other folks I talked to, and unfortunately neither available on late notice here tonight. So again, I really feel, because we are so very proud of our coverage of high school sports, but if you're able to tune in tonight, we'll have the Red Raiders against Loyal Greenwood tonight, and then we'll have Newman Catholic against Almond Bancroft coming up tomorrow, 12:35 for the pregame, 1 o'clock for the opening kickoff. And again, just wanted to let you know, I'll spread the word, and I'll take the slings and the arrows and all that good stuff. But
Greenwood, that'll be good memories. You'll get something on there.
There you go. I get to be back in the booth.
That's a good place to be.
The 98-yard drive, you know, and that got you into the playoffs. It doesn't get much better than that, I tell you. That was
sad. Yeah, you'll have a good time.
If we have something like that tonight, then it's not week number 9 of the season either. But if we have anything like even close to that, then it'll be definitely worth the trek over to Greenwood for the Raiders.
That'll be
tonight.
A good game.
It will be a good game.
So you'll have a good night.
And I hope we'll have a good game tomorrow as well, as the Cardinals 1-0 on the season take on a tough 1-0 Almond Bancroft squad. But we're going to let you step away. You've been knee-deep in preparation for that game all week long. You had a nice win last Saturday against Phillips, but we're going to let you kind of, you know, spread your wings as you do here on Fridays. And it's, as I mentioned earlier with Ian, it's our birthday. It's our second anniversary. 2 years ago today was the first Chad Holmes show. This is our birthday show. It was on September the 6th of 2022. So it's a big birthday celebration with Tim Walls and Paul Mickle.
that would be under the terms big. That is a big day.
Hey, we got the football coaches, Coach Walls and Coach Mickle. You know, I saw the Coach Walls signs at the convention. We got to get a Coach Mickle sign just like that. You know, have people at the game waving the Coach Mickle sign just like the Coach Walls. But
did you give him a prediction on the Packer game?
The thing was, I said to Ian when we wrapped it up, I was lucky to get 7 minutes with him. I wish I had 45, because I would have talked a lot more football with him.
Yes, yes.
But I did mention the fact that, you know, real fast, because I asked, one of the questions I asked him is, you know, I get a chance as covering high school football to see teams. And you get these teams are made up of people that come from different backgrounds. They have homes that have different political beliefs, but you come together all in one common goal. And that's something that I think candidates for office should talk about as well. Because, I mean, obviously, that's one of the great things for you as a coach and as a teacher, being around the schools. You see so many different kinds of kids, but yet so often they're able to come together, get great relationships, and then in the perfect circumstances be able to come together and win a championship. But even when you don't win a championship, when you see these kids come together, that's a huge part of the joy of the work, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Getting them to believe in the right thing and doing the right thing, and not just on the field but off the field, quite frankly, it should be the whole job on that, right. I believe, and on that, trying to blend different backgrounds, different home lives, different, you know. But when it all comes down to it, it's about doing the right thing. And it doesn't really matter what your background is. If we can, at least for, you know, for that time that we have them, to make sure that we understand what we're trying to do with the ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal is, for the football aspect, obviously, is to win the game. But in life is, and I've said this to you thousands of times, Chad, you know, to be a better husband and father and brother and son as they go on with their life. And if we can get that, then we got something going. And that's what we got to get to.
Well, it's you haven't brought me the pizza yet. Brewers are still 9 games up, even though they lost a couple extra inning games to the Cards. But
the way they're playing, I'm not so sure that we're not going to get that pizza. 3 of the last 4 they lost in extra innings.
Come on. I mean, it's not like the wheels are coming off here. They're still up by 9. Are you that worried right now? Come on.
But the thing is, though, they have to get a bye.
Yes, that is very true. And now they are
three games
behind the Dodgers, and they are three games behind the Phils. And if you get any further behind, all of a sudden it slips away completely. Because I don't see the Phillies and the Dodgers seeing the wheels fall off. There's not that much time left in the season.
Yeah, they're not going to probably lose the division, obviously. And so you'll get your pizza.
You say that with such disdain.
Well, it's because it's kind of a freebie there. But
you were feeling generous. Though,
yeah, I was.
Here,
well,
right?
Like I said, I'm happy that you won.
Those Reds were going to be coming back. But continue what you're saying.
Well, the Cubs are coming back.
The Cubs are coming.
And if you look at their schedule, it's actually pretty easy. And the Brewers do have, I mean, they have a tough schedule after Colorado this weekend. I'll be honest, I think they got to sweep these guys.
It certainly would help. I mean,
they got Arizona twice. They got on the road. One of them's on the road, obviously. They got Philadelphia. So you can make those three games up, you know, if you sweep them, but pretty quick.
And frankly, even looking ahead way down to the last series of the year, they play the Mets, you know. And
Mets are in it.
And the Mets are probably going to have to win those games. So, that again, you got to make hay now, I guess is the point you're making, right?
Yeah, I mean, because if you get down to like a seven games with you know, they're on the road against the Giants in Arizona. I mean, that could be they've never gotten to the point where they lost more than three games. I think they're the only major league team that hasn't lost more than three games in the year. So that is a huge thing that they haven't lost more than three games. They always avoid that losing streak. So that's huge.
Yeah. So the Crew nine up at Colorado and early start. They're starting early because
high school football.
Very good, very good, very good. We're gonna come back and talk about the real reason that the Brewers are starting at 5:10 tonight. We have an information update coming up. News and weather and sports. We'll have the national and international news with CBS. Terry Bell will have the state news from our Madison office. Melissa Kay will have our local news and weather. And then Jimmy Cuska will have the sports. And then we'll be back with Paul Micklick. The time is 9:29. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, we are talking Wisconsin sports here with Paul Micklick. And, the Brewers are moving up because of high school football tonight.
That's nice of them.
I know, it really is.
You know, you never complain about the Brewers playing on Friday nights. It's high school night.
That's different. You know it's different. And don't start drinking. I'm sure you have Peacock, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you do have.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know there's going to be some Packer fans that are less than thrilled because this is not over the air tonight.
Correct. There is already. I saw some.
I can imagine. But the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles, as much as I try to say that it's dead to me, as part of the job, I guess I have to talk about it. It is the season opener, and it's actually an interesting game as the Packers last season at the end really started playing their best football. Philadelphia, boy, they just went right down the drain, and there's some pressure on a guy that took them to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. But it's actually a pretty darn good matchup, just like last night's game was.
And that's what they want. I mean, I'm assuming
to get
people
to sign up for Peacock.
Well, yeah. I mean, the NFL is. I think they were born just not yesterday. So I mean, they know what they're doing, and they want to make sure that they, get this game. I mean, it's more about the teams and than the game itself, you know, the lead up and all that, and trying to bring it to a different country. I mean, it's the whole thing is just, if we're kidding ourselves, if we're saying this isn't about money. I mean, because that's what this whole thing is about.
They should make the guy that the little guy with the top hat on the Monopoly game, they should make him the commissioner, because that's the way he really is.
Well, it's true, right? I mean, I don't
true.
Know. I mean,
no, it is true.
I mean, that's what this is. That's why it's Friday night. I mean, that's why. I mean, they do try to take care of the players.
You wouldn't even say Friday night. It just makes me skin crawl. But
well, I'll be watching.
I know you'll be watching. I won't be watching.
Because... If you were at home like myself, would you? I mean, I guess I could be out.
I'm going to be honest here, because I want to say, no, I would not be watching. But last Friday night, I got home from my game. It was the fourth quarter. I saw what the score was. It was 14-13. The Badgers were losing. And despite the fact that they were dead to me last Friday night, I did flip it on because it was a one-point game. If it would have been a game like it should have been, I could have easily ignored
it. Yep. So that would have been a bad loss.
It would have been.
To say the least. But I mean, we don't want to go there yet. But, I mean, that's, again, they are taking care of their guys to get those guys back into a time frame of, it's a creature of habit, the body, and everything else. So, you know, to try to get them back from Brazil, you know, I understand what they're doing. You almost have to do it that way, to be honest with you, for the sake of the game, because you're asking these two teams then to come back the following week. It's a creature of habits that they are, and the body is, and to make sure that the body is ready to go and put on the show that you expect them to put on, you have to take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to, but they really aren't, because they're putting this in the first week of the season, unlike the other flyover games, which are, they try to set up before buys, you know, because the England games, you have a bye.
Yep.
In there. Here, it's more important to get the money, and then, because they could have this game at some other point of the season, but they wanted it right here, first week of the season. So if you really, really, really
competition,
cared,
look, I mean,
but if you really cared about these guys, you don't have it in the first week. You could have.
Do they put this kind of game in London? They haven't. I mean,
no, they haven't really.
I mean,
this is a made-for-TV spectacular. This is part,
yes.
This is part of the, hey, you're giving us billions of dollars. We're going to give something to you.
This is the opening weekend. Exactly. I mean, that's what it is.
That's the whole thing about flex scheduling and the whole thing, going down that line. Let's talk about the game itself.
Yep.
The Packers and the Eagles, and can the Packers build on what we saw late last season? I mean, that's the big question. I mean, we saw a team that was, you know, struggling offensively early in the season, and then all of a sudden it really did come together. What's your take on where they stand right now in week one of this season?
I mean, I just feel from past experience and past – they're going to come off to a slow start. It depends on if Philadelphia comes off to a hot start, and where the game goes. Tonight I just feel it's going to be at some point in time, and early in that first half, I mean, I can see them being down by two scores quickly, just because of past experience of the reps, of what I have heard and seen, or not seen during the preseason. And they're talking about the Super Bowl, but were we talking about the Super Bowl at this time last year?
No.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
No,
So was it a 6-8 game hiccup where we found, you know, what's that, lightning in a bottle? Is that what we found or not? I don't think we know that. I don't think we know that at this time. They think they know that, so I'm hoping they know that. But I just got to have a gut feeling that we might see the early Green Bay Packers in that first half.
I'm curious to see how Jacobs does fit in, how much they're going to ride him. I like having a guy that you can kind of count on to get 20 carries. I hope they don't play this game where they put him in for a couple of plays and then take him out. And let's ride this guy. I mean, I'm curious to see that if we do get that little sense of what Tennessee was when LaFleur was over there, because I think he's got now some of the pieces to have that. What got him hired for the Packers originally, but then he had to kind of play around with Aaron for a couple of years.
I agree. It's a long season, though.
That's true.
And I don't think the depth behind that, I mean, they got the rookie. But you know what? They practice everybody. They did practice everybody this week. I mean, this is like the that's kind of amazing, to be honest with you. They practice everybody that was on their roster and on their practice squad. So everybody's good to go. And it'll be interesting to see if they try to get him involved right away. Are they going to go for this one? You know, as a coach, you kind of got to balance it a little bit. But let's see. I mean, this is kind of, in my mind, this is a critical game to get off on the right foot. You got the Colts coming in next week. And it's all about when you play teams more than the team itself.
True.
I truly believe that. And so I think right now they're healthy. The Packers are healthy. They're riding a little wave here. They have to come out and play a good game.
Week one, we're going to look ahead to early January. I think it's an interesting division. I think that Detroit obviously showed that they are capable with the way they performed last year. I think Darnold is actually going to do okay with Minnesota. I don't think that's as bad of a downgrade at the quarterback position as maybe some folks think. I think Jefferson will have another great year. And then Chicago will be just interesting because I thought they did play better late in the season. They saved their coach's job, I think, late in the year, and now they got the number one draft pick, and we'll see whether or not Williams is able to jump right in. But when all was said and done, what do you see with the Packers and that division?
Yeah, I mean, I will say Cousins is pretty good, and Minnesota did take a drop off in that department.
Yeah, they probably would have made the playoffs last year with them.
Cousins.
Yeah.
I mean, they were flying. They were flying. They were. I mean, they were doing.
They went into Green Bay and looked pretty darn good that day.
Yes.
When he got hurt. Yeah.
I mean, he's legit.
But I think Darnold, I think he was in, again, I may be the apologist here, like a lot of the Darnold apologists are, but I do think that he was put into a couple of bad spots, and now he's going to get an opportunity. I'm actually curious because this is going to be a sense maybe that sometimes these guys do get thrown into the deep end a little too early, and they kind of get blown up, and it takes a while for them to be put back together. But
in the wrong system, it'd be the wrong system.
Right, right.
So I agree. I think he's a good quarterback. I just don't think that we give Cousins enough credit either.
Sure.
That he was up there. Minnesota. I mean, I truly believe that if we don't do it right, I mean, like every one of those games is a dogfight. It's when you play them again, who's out, who's not in. Because I don't think talent-wise, Detroit is head and shoulders above anybody. I don't think Green Bay's head and shoulders above any of these. And if they have players that can make plays, you just said, you know, Jefferson with the Vikings, Williams with the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
It only takes a little luck and a little couple plays and making plays and five or six plays in that game, and they got guys that can make those 5 to 6 plays.
I think the Bears are going to be a surprise this year. I really do. I think that they're ready to take a leap because they did add some really good receiving talent around their quarterback. I think they've put themselves in a much better position, and that, you know, this is maybe a strong from top to bottom NFC North that we've seen in a while. I would not want to put money on predicting 1 through 4 this year. I just think I agree with you that there's going to be a lot of curveballs, injuries, whatever it may be, that could determine ultimately winning a division or finishing in last place in this division. I think it's that tight.
Yeah, I mean, let's not get too crazy about Chicago.
We'll see in January if they go, 3-14 again. Then you can tell me I think they're gonna. I think they're gonna have more wins than losses this year. That's my bold prediction here to start the year.
Well, what was their record last year?
I don't remember.
I don't think they were that far away.
But I mean, you don't think that Bears
they're
have
making
a winning
a great
record?
Jump. They're going to go from 8-9 to
they
9-8.
Eight and nine.
Stop the press.
Oh, you just
stop the press.
You don't want
they're
to give me credit for anything. Nobody else is saying the Bears are going to have a winning record.
Actually, there's a lot of people that are saying that. Go look at their.
Oh,
they're saying Williams is the next Joe Namath. He's going to change
all right,
it all
the
around.
The Bears were 7-10 last year.
Oh yeah, you see, and they almost beat the Packers.
Almost.
And they would have been 8-9. So
they almost beat the Packers. Okay, they almost.
They
could have been almost 14-3 then. You know, they almost won.
They're making a great jump. Everybody, they're going from 7-10 to 9-8. Bold prediction.
All right.
Bold.
Well, what is your prediction then for the Packers? You didn't even say it.
For the Packers?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll be honest. All these people keep on saying that they're going to be easily above 500. I think their schedule's made for it. I until you see it again, I just can't trust it. I mean, can we say Watson is a number one receiver? Can we say, do we know that? I mean,
well, does he stay on the field? Number one.
That's the best ability is availability.
Thanks, Coach McCarthy.
Yeah. What
was that, McCarthy?
Well, he said it after I said it. Oh. I think
very good. Very good.
But I mean, so I truly believe that. We don't know. There's a lot of missing pieces.
So you're,
right?
You're not going to make a prediction for me, are you? Come on, spit it out. Spit it out. Come on.
10-7.
All right, very good. We only got.
What are you saying? You're saying Chicago's making a huge jump. But
I think 10-7 as well. That's what I was thinking, actually, even before you said it. So 10-7, I think, is a very doable record. But again, I got to figure out these other teams. I don't know. We only got a couple minutes. Badgers did struggle again last week. I mean, and they got South Dakota. They better not be in a 1-point game with South Dakota tomorrow in the second half. I mean, they got to start putting it a little together.
Yeah, Bob Nielsen's their coach, and he was at Eau Claire when I was there.
Yeah,
and then went up to Duluth, and they're actually playing better. I actually can see that being a fairly close game. I'm going to be honest with you.
Which would not be good news with Alabama coming next week.
I've said this before when people are saying it. I think they're going to have a tough time being over 500.
I think you're correct. I do, because I thought last week they got so lucky on that punt. I mean, the momentum was completely against them.
Yep.
I mean, who knows? Maybe they give up a score there. I mean, that was just a – and you give them credit. They took advantage of the break. That's what a good team has to do. But, man, I was – that was just the fourth quarter, and I was listening a little bit, and LePay was even saying that this quarterback had a couple that should have been picked off at certain points of the game.
He did, but I honestly thought that he actually was pretty good.
Well, that's what you said, and I was thinking, LePay said he was getting away with a few. So
he did. Brett Favre got away from him, and he was a Hall of Fame, too. I mean, Van Dyke, he's okay. I think he will be, and he will get better, and I'll tell you this right now. If they do have success, it's going to be because of him.
All right. Interesting stuff. Well, enjoy tonight.
Yep, and you enjoy.
Hey,
you're
going to
make memories. You never know when a memory comes up, and I feel that you're going to get one over there. Marathon's going to put on a good show for you.
Fantastic. We'll see you tomorrow.
We will see you tomorrow, Chad.
That's Paul Mickley, coach of the Newman Catholic Cardinals. We'll have the Cards tomorrow against Alman Bancroft at 12:35. And coming up next, the pressure is on Ian Welsh this week.
Yes,
he needs a right answer or else it's a failure this week.
Oh, I don't want that.
And you can't do that on the anniversary.
No,
definitely. So we'll have that coming up next here on WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, it is Friday, September the 6th of 2024, day number 250 of this year. There are 116 days remaining in the year. And a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1970... Jimi Hendrix played what turned out to be his last ever performance at the Love and Peace Festival on the Isle of Fehrbarn in Germany. On this date in 1991, the name St. Petersburg was restored to Russia's second largest city, which had been renamed Leningrad in 1924. On this date in 1995, Cal Ripken Jr. broke Lou Gehrig's record of 2,130 consecutive Major League Baseball games played at Camden Yards in Baltimore, Maryland. On this date in 1997, the funeral of Diana, Princess of Wales, at Westminster Abbey drew large crowds. On this date in 2012, Barack Obama accepted the Democratic nomination for President of the United States. 4 years ago, on this date in 2020, Los Angeles County, California, reported its highest ever temperature of 121 degrees Fahrenheit. And 2 years ago today, Boris Johnson resigned as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and was replaced by Liz Truss, who did not last very long in that position herself. So those are a few of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Joanne Worley from Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In is 87. Roger Waters of Pink Floyd is 81. Actor Swoozie Kurtz is 80. Jane Curtin, former Saturday Night Live cast member, is 77. Comedian Jeff Foxworthy turning 66. Mm-hmm. Michael Winslow from the Police Academy films made those wacky noises. Michael Winslow is 66. News correspondent Elizabeth Vargas turning 62 years old today. Idris Elba from the Marvel movies, also Star Trek Beyond and the Suicide Squad, is 52.
Also the voice of Knuckles in the Sonic movies.
Oh, there you go. Pippa Middleton, the sister of the Princess of England, is 41 years old today. Asher Angel of Shazam is 22. That Shazam is Shazam the movie. The real Shazam is the TV show from the 70s.
Oh, I remember that one.
I got the Shazam TV show on DVD.
Nice.
So that's cool stuff. Mentor and Billy Batson going around in their RV. Special events being acknowledged today. Barbie Doll Day. It is Bring Your Manners to Work Day.
Do that every day.
Yeah, yes, he should. It is Lazy Moms Day. It is 401k Day. It is Food Bank Day. It is Fight Procrastination Day. It is Read a Book Day. And it's Stillbirth Remembrance Day. So nice. For those families that suffered the tragedy of a stillbirth, remembrance today. All right.
Moment of truth, people. If you want to place your bets, when I place your bets, I do it now.
It has been a couple of months, at least a couple of months, since you had a week where you were not over the 33% threshold.
Yeah.
Again, every weekday, we do have a number for the day quiz. We give Ian Wells three different choices. So based on the math, he should get one out of three right just by guessing. One out of three, 33%. And we have 5 days in the week. So that basically means you got to get two out of five to be above 33%.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't, you get one out of five, that's only 20%.
Oh, that's not good.
And right now, you are one out of four this week.
I have to get this.
You have to get it, or else your streak will come to an end, and it will be a failure of a week. We cannot have a failure of a week. That just is, especially here on our anniversary. You can't have that happen on our anniversary.
Not.
All right. The number for the day. Never gave you any hints today.
Nope, no hints.
Number of election fraud cases involving voting by non-citizens between 2003 and 2023, according to a database maintained by the Conservative Heritage Foundation. So the number of election fraud cases involving voting by non-citizens for 20 years between 2003 and 2023, according to a database maintained by the Conservative Heritage Foundation. Those conservatives say there's always a bunch of election fraud out there. But we have some numbers from the Heritage Foundation. All right.
Okay.
Is the correct answer 12? Is the correct answer 24? Is the correct answer 36?
Okay.
So very low numbers. All three are very low numbers. Shows there's not been a lot of election fraud out there. So
that's a good thing, though.
That is a good thing. Even the Conservative Heritage Foundation says that.
12, 24, 36. This is over a 20-year period.
Yeah.
So 24. Okay, the pressure is really on.
It
I know
is.
You can't see it. Both starting to sweat a little bit.
Yeah, the drips of perspiration coming down the head.
Okay.
Knowing that this is it. This is a pressure you have not felt in a long time. You haven't been in a situation where you've had to get the last one. You've had it cleared by the time we got to this point.
Okay, I'm going with my gut here. I'm not going to overthink this. I'm going to go with B. I'm going to go with a 24. I'm going with the middle answer. It's my final answer.
All right.
I'll stick with my mom's advice. I'm going with B.
All right, so you either have to credit mom or you're going to have to blame mom in this case. So
I would never blame my mom.
I know you. All right, this is it. The number of election fraud cases involving voting by non-citizens between 2003 and 2023, according to a database maintained by the Conservative Heritage Foundation, is only 24.
Yes!
You salvaged the week.
I'm so glad I didn't bomb on the two-year anniversary show.
I know. You salvaged the week. Oh, yes. Fantastic stuff.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you.
There you go. Well, now you can enjoy your weekend.
Absolutely.
So have a good one.
You too, Chad. Have a good weekend, everybody. Happy Friday.
And again, thanks to our guests, folks from the WASA Festival of Arts.
Yes, enjoy the Festival of the Arts this weekend, too.
Democratic Vice Presidential nominee Tim Walz and Paul Micklick for all joining us here today. Stick around. Matt and Air on Air coming up next. Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO.